compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. I keep thinking about that audio, Cyrus. I wish you had played that. But good morning. Welcome back. The number to dial is 888-914-9149.
Good morning. Sunday morning.
There she is. I was talking over her. Let's hear her again.
Good morning. Sunday morning.
Yes. Gotta love that. Welcome back. Once again with the number 888-914-9149. Cyrus, I think it's time that we have the talk.
Patrick, I've had the talk. I've given the talk.
Well, I think a lot of people need to hear the talk again. I'm talking about the TikTok talk. That talk.
Okay, you got me. All right.
The TikTok. Have you had the TikTok with your kids yet?
I haven't had the TikTok. No one's given me the TikTok.
Okay. Well, so, here we go.
Here we go.
There's a lot you don't know. I'm here to explain to you the world of TikTok. I've seen TikTok videos floating around on Twitter, or people will, you know, send them my way, funny bits. So I've seen those. I don't know that I've ever actually seen the app. So I presume the app is just serving up all these videos one after the other, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I've seen my kids. I take their phones and I scroll through what they're looking at, and it's you just keep scrolling, and it's.
It's endless.
It's endless, and it's all 10-second clips. Very short term entertainment.
We have one that I think is pretty funny. It's edgy, and it might, you know, since we're living in the land of COVID now, some people may not find it so funny. I think it's funny. Maybe we'll get to that one. But I really do. The more I look at TikTok and kind of pry underneath to see what's going on, the more concerns I have, and this is why I really do believe that parents need to have the TikTok talk with their kids. Now, there are two tracks of information here. The first one has to do with the TikTok connection to China. And you may say, well, my kid doesn't care about China. Well, okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But the Daily Mail has got a very revealing article about the TikTok algorithms that promote sexual content, drugs, and alcohol to kids as young as 13. They did an investigation. Here's what they came up with. And this is why I'm saying you should have the TikTok talk with your kid. Or just if you want to shorten it and save some breath, just call it the TikTok. The algorithm that TikTok uses, I can't even believe I'm saying the words TikTok over and over again like this. It just sounds silly. The algorithm that TikTok uses to decide what videos users see is promoting sexual content, drugs, and alcohol to kids as young as 13. As part of a Wall Street Journal investigation, a quote-unquote 13-year-old user searched for a porn website and watched a handful of videos, including two selling pornography on the China-based media app. Now, I'm not going to mention the specific porn websites. When viewing the For You page, the TikTok version of the Twitter feed, the same teenager was shown a series of sexually oriented videos. And this investigative journalist posed as a 13-year-old, as far as TikTok knew. The content shown is based on previous searches, as well as the content types that are most often viewed or that the user spends the most time watching. The more a user lingered on sexual content, the more sexual content was shown, despite the user's age being set in their profile at 13. TikTok says that it doesn't currently differentiate between videos served up to adults and children, but they're now working on a new filter tool for younger accounts. It wasn't a real 13-year-old involved in the investigation. Rather, it was a series of bots that were created to better understand what TikTok shows its younger viewers. All of the automated accounts were set to between the ages of 13 and 15 to determine whether younger viewers get a different feed compared to the older TikTok users. Through the constant curation of the AI-powered algorithm, they found that the feeds would become more focused, delving more increasingly into inappropriate content. One of the accounts, claiming to be a 13-year-old, was shown 569 videos about drug use, including references to cocaine and meth addiction, as well as promotional videos for the online sale of drug products. How do you like them, Apple, Cyrus?
I don't like them at all.
No.
No, I think instead of having a TikTok, I'm going to go home and delete TikTok from every device in my house.
Yeah, it's just the more you see, the worse it gets. One of the accounts was also shown over 100 videos promoting pornography sites and sex shops from accounts labeled as adults only. This is being served up by TikTok to a an ostensible 13-year-old looking at it. There were even videos encouraging eating disorders, promoting alcohol consumption and other adult-oriented content. The Wall Street Journal reporters sent TikTok almost 1,000 videos showing drugs, porn, and other adult-related content that had been shown to their 13 to 15-year-old bot accounts. Of those videos, 255 were removed soon after they were sent to the Chinese-owned platform, including a dozen showing adults entering relationships with people calling themselves littles, legal-age adults pretending to be children. One of the people shown in a role-playing video aimed at adults, but shown to the teenage bot accounts, said she clearly says her content is 18 and above in her bio, which says, I do have in my bio that is 18 plus, but I have no real way to police this, she told the Wall Street Journal in a message, saying that she doesn't agree with her content being shown to someone so young. A TikTok spokesman told the Wall Street Journal that the firm removed some of the reported videos and redistributed others and to stop them from being recommended to other younger users, but it isn't clear how many they say. I'm sure the number is astronomical. Under TikTok terms of service, users have to be at least 13, and if they are under 18, they need parental permission with parents able to manage screen time and privacy settings for the children within the app. Protecting minors is vitally important. Yeah, says TikTok. Uh-huh. Right. They say they're taking steps to promote safe and age-appropriate experiences for teens. There were a total of 31 bot accounts that were used in the investigation, each given a date of birth and an IP address, with no other information revealed to TikTok apart from what they shared by reviewing various videos for different amounts of time. A dozen of the 31 accounts quickly became dominated by a particular theme as the selective algorithm tailored for the For You page to previously expressed interests. One wonders what one would find on the For You page. I suppose if you look at the For You page, maybe you can do this, Cyrus, if you're going to have the TikTok talk with your kids, just at a moment's notice to see what's on those on the screens, because according to this, they're focused more and more and more based upon what a given user spends more time looking at. Mm. So just a thought, just popping that out there.
Yeah.
Boy, your kids are really going to hate me. That Mr. Madrid, all our fun.
They're going to hate me. Like, Dad, I just look at the funny video. I can already hear it. I can already hear all of the excuses and reasons why they should be able to keep it. It's how I talk to my friends. It's how we communicate.
Yeah. And their friend's probably like right across the street. And rather than go across the street and see the friend, they're on TikTok. Well, there's a little bit more. I want to get this out there for you as well. One example, one of these bot accounts was given a series of interests such as Japanese film and television cartoons. And there were 150 videos served up to that account, labeled as a 13-year-old. 146 of the 150 videos were anime, many with a sexual theme. TikTok told the Wall Street Journal that the behavior of the bots in no way represents the behavior and viewing experience of a real person. Right. That doesn't change the adult-themed videos being shown to children, with 40% of one stretch of 200 videos coming from accounts labeled as adults only. So TikTok relies on algorithms.
Adult-only sites were being sent to. How old was this account?
The 31 accounts were listed as between 13 years of age. Some of them were 13, some were 14, some were 15. So none were older than 15, and any number of these 31 accounts was 13.
How is this not criminal?
Exactly. 200 videos served up to the fake 13-year-old account, and they were labeled as adults only. You can only imagine what was in those videos.
My stomach's turning.
Mm-hmm. TikTok relies on algorithms and 10,000 people to police the millions of videos shared to the service. With about 100 million users in just the U.S., moderators struggle to keep pace. They have to focus on the most popular content, leaving the lower view count videos unchecked. They say they're slowly rolling out a range of security features, including giving 16 and 17-year-olds the ability to determine who can see their posts. I'm just cherry picking for other data. Okay, so that's if that weren't bad enough, that's the first track of what's going on. The second track, this is from Forbes, and this is about the way the Chinese Communist Party uses TikTok to shape the views, the attitudes, and not just in sexual and drug-related ways, but to shape worldview attitudes of the kids and others who are using TikTok. So it's the more we look at TikTok, the more we see that it is, among other things, it's also being used as a tool of propaganda, political and geopolitical propaganda. So the Forbes article is too long for me to read the whole thing, but I'll just give you a few selections here, Cyrus. I mean, as if you weren't already unhappy enough. I'm sorry to ruin your day. There was an irony to the news on June 7th that TikTok was exiting Hong Kong. Its name joined those of Facebook, Google, and Twitter, and then Microsoft and Zoom, as major U.S. platforms announced their rethink of operations in the territory as its new national security law came into force. It was as if they were all the same, but the truth was very different. TikTok's decision had nothing to do with the security concerns cited by these other groups, and had everything to do with its Chinese ownership. It doesn't actually matter, the article says, whether the Chinese Communist Party influences TikTok owner ByteDance, B-Y-T-E, as the U.S. alleges that it does. China, in this instance, is China. The U.S. government has been waiting for an opportunity to act. That opportunity presented itself recently. There's a U.S. election coming up, set against a backdrop of worsening standoff relations between Washington and Beijing. And what the article does is it goes into how China uses TikTok to, as the article says, pump content directly onto the phones of hundreds of millions of citizens in America and in Europe. First came the news that a beta release of Apple's iOS 14 had caught TikTok secretly accessing users' clipboards. TikTok was not alone. A raft of other apps were caught doing the same thing. And like those others, TikTok issued an explanation and an update, but it was TikTok that generated the headlines, partly because it had been caught before doing the same thing and had promised to stop, but mostly because of seeming to snoop on millions of phones in the West. Then came the announcement from the Indian government that TikTok would be banned on national security grounds. Again, TikTok was not alone. There were 58 other Chinese apps subject to the same sanctions. But again, TikTok made the headlines. India is the platform's largest market, where hundreds of millions of users have installed TikTok and share its videos. According to reports, sources at the company suggest that the ban might cost TikTok, and this is just in India, it might cost TikTok as much as $6 billion. The triggers for India's ban on TikTok were military and political tensions between itself and China. Shortly after this ban was announced, reports from Australia suggested its government was coming under pressure to do the same thing. Australia has its own geopolitical tensions with China, and recent cyber attacks on the country's government have been informally attributed to Beijing. The third thing that happened with TikTok was when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, this is going back within the last year or so, confirmed in an interview that the U.S. was certainly looking at banning the platform. Suddenly, the relatively contained action in India looked as if it might spiral out of control and undo much of TikTok's success in recent years. So, you know, the cunning communist overlords who run China, they have a vast array of tools at their disposal to reach into the lives of everyday Americans and manipulate their view of the world, not to mention corrupt them. Now, Cyrus, I don't know if you've ever heard of, I believe the title of this app is called WeTalk, if I'm not mistaken. And I have some very close friends. She is a Chinese national. She's been living in the United States since like high school. But she was telling me, and her husband, too, who is fluent in Chinese, he's traveled to China many times. He's a Westerner. But they were telling me that this is an app that it's Chinese-controlled, Chinese-owned, and controlled by the government. And they said as far as they're concerned, like any expat from China living in the United States or Canada or elsewhere, they have this app typically because it's a really easy way to communicate with people back in China. It's in Chinese, you know, kind of gives them a connection with their culture and such and their language. But because it's government controlled, not only can the government see what everybody is saying back and forth, but they can also push propaganda out to them. And they've given me some examples of how that happens. So these kinds of things are already in place. TikTok seems to be the opium of the masses, where the people are just watching these TikTok videos without realizing the subliminal effects that they're having on them, not to mention the drugs and the porn and the other things that are going on. Which leads me to my question, and since all my kids are all grown up now, so I don't have any to test drive this on, what is it, Cyrus, that you think has made TikTok so successful? Is it the briefness of the videos? Is it the humor? Is it what do you think it's made this so wildly popular among the young people?
If I had to guess, it's the briefness. Yeah, short attention span theater. It's just the children's
10 seconds, right?
10 seconds. Their attention is so short, and they want to go on to the next thing. Have you ever tried to show a great movie to a young person?
They glaze over in five minutes.
It's painful. They're so bored. They're so bored. If something hasn't happened in the first 10 seconds, they've already checked out.
Yeah, that is true. I've noticed that.
So TikTok is the opposite of that. You know, 10 seconds, and mm-hmm. you get your little dopamine push, and then you're on to the next thing.
And you predict that the kids are going to push back. They'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Oh, this isn't going to be
when
pretty.
You tell them.
No, this isn't going to be good at all.
Yeah, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I really do. But on the other hand, there are lots of unsuspecting parents out there right now, just like you, who don't realize the harms of TikTok. And it probably sounds like, oh, you know, every new thing people say that it's bad for you. But this is really bad. I mean, right. It's really bad what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, older people would look at the rock and roll music I'd listen to and be like, oh, it's garbage. You know, how are you listening to that? And this doesn't feel like the same thing. This is, you know, I'm an old person now, and I'm poo-pooing what the young people are doing and listening to. Is there a correlation? Is it just when you get older, you don't like what's new? Or is there something truly demonic about this app and what it's subjugating children to?
That's a very good question. It's a very fair question. I think culturally, and I know we have to take a break, but culturally, you can see cycles of where, you know, the parents think that the kids' music is ridiculous, but their parents thought their music was ridiculous. So I think there is something culturally to that, but I think you're right. This is a whole order of magnitude different from just not liking that newfangled rock and roll music. So parents, please take action. Check out the articles. Cyrus will post them for you on the show Twitter feed at @PMadridShow. I'll be right back with more right after this. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Okay. Cyrus, this story is just like custom made for this program. When the staff at Kunsten Museum of Modern Art in Northern Denmark opened boxes last week from artist Jens Hanning, they expected to see pieces featuring the 500,000 kroner they lent him for the works of art. That half a million kroner would equal out to about $84,000 American. Okay, still, it's some nice money. They lent him this money for the works of art, the director told a Danish radio show. Instead, the museum, which had commissioned Hanning to recreate two of his older pieces that were made with cash, they found two empty frames. And his name for the artwork, Take the Money and Run. Now the... You were just waiting for that. Yeah.
Please continue.
Hoo-hoo! Now the museum in Aalborg, Denmark, is accusing him of breaking their legal agreement and demanding that the artist return the $84,000. The work is that I have taken their money, Heining said in an interview with a Danish radio program. That's the work. I did the work.
I guess anything can be art.
He's 56 years old. He's from Copenhagen. Gained popularity in the 1990s. He's known for using art as commentary on money, power, and marginalized groups. His pieces were meant to be a part of a new exhibition at the Kunsten Museum about the labor market entitled Work It Out, running from September 28th to January 16th. The exhibit features new and existing works from about 20 artists. So the museum asked him to recreate his works from 2007 and 2010, which were visual representations of the average annual income for Austrians and Danes. The museum paid him money to do this. And so, I mean, there's a picture of it in the story. He's got like two big easels that are blank. And the title of his exhibit is Take the Money and Run. So it's like performance art, I guess. So that's the work. All right. I want to give Jens absolutely the right that a work has been created in its own right, which actually comments on the exhibition we have, Anderson told the media. But that is not the agreement we had. But Hanning, the artist, is standing strong, noting that his decision is what makes the empty frames works of art. It's not theft. It's a breach of contract, and breach of contract is part of the work. He has until January 14th to return the funds. The museum director says he doesn't want to wait. He says Jen should not have the money because it's not part of our agreement. Despite Hanning's alleged breach of contract, Kunsten Museum is still displaying the works that he sent them last week. It's a comment on how we all work, and it's probably also a comment on the value of what he creates. I just think, yeah. All right. Okay. He took the money and run, but that's the name of the work of art.
That's art.
Hey, there was some photography done about the Border Patrol agents on horseback. I'm sure you saw the video and pictures of that. And they were like rounding up Haitian immigrants who were trying to get into the country. And the Border Patrol agents who were on horseback, it was purported that they were whipping these Haitian immigrants. Now, of course, the mental image, black people on foot being chased by white officers on horseback and being whipped, it just conjures up horrible memories and horrible images of terrible things that were done to black people in years gone by. But the guy who took the pictures that were made so public, his name is Paul Ratchie. This is from the Daily Caller. And the particular still image of a Border Patrol agent on horseback in Del Rio, Texas, grabbing a Haitian migrant by the shirt while his other hand held what appeared to be a horse rein. The photographer said, I never saw any of them whipping anybody. He said, this is an inference that people are drawing, but they were not whipping anybody. He said, neither he nor his colleagues saw the agents whip anyone, and the photos had been misinterpreted. He said, some of the Haitian men started running, trying to go around the horses. I've never seen them whip anyone. He was swinging it, but it can be misconstrued when you're looking at the picture. Apparently, the reins were flying as they were riding the horses. And if you look at them a certain way, it looks like the rein might be making contact with the person he was trying to chase. So in the press, we were treated with this kind of spin. Vice News declared that agents were, quote, whipping Haitian migrants after the photos emerged. Vice claimed in the story that the agents were simply swinging whips in the faces of migrants. MSNBC host Joy Reid said the agents were, quote, given whips which come from the slave era to use on humans. There were no whips. It was the reins of the horses. Apparently, from what the photographer is saying, Democratic California Representative Maxine Waters said the images were, quote, worse than what we witnessed in slavery. What? Cowboys with their reins in hand whipping black people, Haitians, into the water where they're scrambling and falling down, she said. The Border Patrol told the media that the alleged whips are actually just the horses' reins. We do not carry whips, the Border Patrol said, and the only thing that it was in their hands was reins. Whips are not issued for use. Another Border Patrol source told Town Hall that agents spin their reins to keep migrants away from their horses, which could possibly trample them. Despite the lack of clarification, the White House announced on Thursday that the horses would be banned from use in Del Rio after allegations of the quote-unquote whipping had gone viral. President Biden, referring to the agents that he thought were whipping the migrants, he said they will pay and there will be consequences. There were no whips and nobody got whipped.
It's false. No way. Not this time. We created it. No, not this time. It's totally made up. Pure fiction. It's fiction. We made it up. It's a total fabrication.
That's right. Yeah, and I think the truth should be told. I mean, if the truth were that they were indeed whipping these people, then that should be told too. But it was another media stunt, kind of like the Covington Catholic boys with their red hats at the March for Life a few years ago. And the way people leaped to a conclusion, assuming that they were taunting a Native American, when in fact it was exactly the opposite. This just goes to show that you have to be careful when you see this stuff. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Lori in Lexington, Kentucky. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Welcome aboard.
Wonderful. Thank you. I just wanted to offer some consolation to parents and really just kind of a battle cry to remind them. This is in relation to the TikTok conversation that you were having, and especially Cyrus. First of all, I want to hug him. Second of all, as a mother of seven from 30 years old down to 16 years old, my husband and I, you know, just in raising children, remembering the fact that God chose Cyrus and his bride to be the parents of those children. He's going to provide the grace for those kids. And in difficult times, and my husband and I have discerned something is dangerous or difficult and certainly unwelcome to a teenager, especially teenage sons, of which I have a lot, sit them down and say, listen, Dad and I have prayed about this, and there is nothing that we want to take from you. We in no way want to inhibit a freedom of enjoying this world that God's given you, but we've really prayed about this. And I'm telling you, before God, we're going to meet him, and he is going to ask us, how did we raise you? And this is really on our heart. And we feel for you. We know this is going to be difficult. We'd like to work in any way to help promote the good of things like friendships and communication and relationships, because God's all about that. But sitting down with them and having that conversation, you know, unequivocally deciding to remove something from them. But I just wanted to remind parents, stay strong with this. This matters, and it matters with your kid. And I could see at least the respect, even though the discipline, it wasn't against them, it was against something worldly. In standing there, to see the respect in their eyes, to understand, listen, buddy, I would not do this. I've got way more on my plate than to try to annoy you and make your life miserable. This is really in that realm of so serious that Dad and I feel like we have to step in and protect you. And while you're living in my home, this is where we're going, and to the best of our ability, explain why. So
that seems very wise and very, very gracious doing it that way. That way the kids realize you're not landing on them. It's not that necessarily that they're doing anything wrong, but you're seeking to protect them. I like it. I think it's great.
Absolutely. And our responsibility also to let them understand that literally before God in my exit interview, as you say, this is going to come up and I have to stand strong. So stand strong to that. And, you know, they're not always going to choose God when they're older. We don't have that right. That's not within our control, but it is within our control to do what we have in the moment as God works on our hearts. So pray about it. Look for that discernment. And remember, parents, God is working with you. Stay close to him in prayer and stand strong.
Very true. Your children are very lucky to have parents like you. So,
thank you. Well,
I'm sure Cyrus is anxious to say something too. What was that, Lori? Were you going to say something?
No.
Lori, can you come over for dinner and talk to my kids?
I would love to, Cyrus. I live in Lexington and Kentucky. Oh. If you're anywhere close to me, I'll leave my number and you bring your kids over.
She could be like the Matt Foley motivational speaker, you know, to come up from the basement to talk to the kids.
Well, no, that's the other thing. We had also surround yourself with other parents who've gone before, because I've gotten some of my best wisdom that way. And before my kids even reached teenage years, my brother is a priest, and I sat him down and I said, listen, God's blessed us with a lot of children. Odds are, you know, we're going to have some trouble somewhere in here. I want to start speaking to parents. Tell me who I can talk to, who you've seen as a pastor, who could then give us some of this advice. And then I had a wonderful priest, also Father Leo Padlinghuck, who's a friend of my brother's. I sat down with him and said, all right, Father, what would you want to tell me as a parent as we're entering the teenage years, which can be delightful. They really can be. It's amazing to watch your children learn to think and reason and puzzle through these things as they then begin to take the reins of their life. But Father Leo said, mercy, confession. And that's something we've also talked to him. Guys, you know, and girls, you're not always going to get it right. Where do you go? You go to the Lord and always come to us. Don't leave things hidden in darkness. So seek companionship, seek wise counsel from those older than you. Stay close to the Lord, learn how to meditate, and love your bride.
Got that down, Cyrus?
Yeah, I'm just, I'm writing her intro down.
Jotting it down.
I think Lori needs her own show.
That's what I tell my kids. I tell them, I'm hysterical. Your friends love me. And they roll their eyes.
Well, you have two thumbs up and a snap of the fingers from me, Lori. Well said, and I agree with you.
Thank you. Well, God bless you guys, and stay strong, parents.
Yeah, thank you. Wonderful. Words of wisdom, Cyrus, from a mom who's in the midst of it, just like you and your wife are.
Yeah, that was great. I'm going to be downloading this episode and listening to it again on my way home just to help prep myself for this TikTok I'm about to have.
The TikTok. Kids, it's time we had the TikTok talk. And they're gonna say, oh, that Patrick Madrid's been up to it again. Yep. What other fun is he going to take from us? No, this is really worth taking away from the kids. No, I support you 100%. And I just feel so happy for those kids that Lori and her husband are raising, because talk about a really engaged couple of parents who understand and are seeking to parent these kids. I think the word intentionally is so overused, but I can't think of a better word than that right now. So that was great. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll take more phone calls. The number is 888-914-9149. And also, I want to share with you what the BBC is saying are some everyday foods that you're accustomed to eating that could become luxuries and difficult to get. I'll tell you what those are as well right after this.
Hope restored, hearts healed, lives changed. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
Let's go to Nancy now, listening in Los Angeles. Hi, Nancy.
I've been away from the church for about 50 years. My daughter's a fervent Catholic, and I just happened to come across your station 3 months ago. And I feel that I found a whole new world for myself, and soon I hope to go to confession. I can't tell
you. That's fantastic.
What listening to you and Drew as well, you two have really brought me back to the church, and my daughter is so grateful, and she's amazed. In fact, she went to church yesterday. She brought back your bumper sticker and all kinds of information about your radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And I got your book, Pope Fiction, and it's an amazing book.
Thank you.
That's a book I needed.
Wow.
Very much. So I just want to tell you that without having found that station, I think I would still be in what you might say, limbo. And I just want to call to thank you, and I'm praying every day, and it's just changed my life completely. And
that
thank
is
you.
Beautiful, Nancy. Wow. And you were away for 50 years?
Yes.
During that 50-year span, Nancy, sounds like you maybe fell away in your 30s. During that span of time, did you ever feel kind of nervous and worried and conscience bothering you?
Yes.
But you didn't quite come
yes.
back?
Yes, very much mm-hmm. so.
And now that's all gone, right? Because now it's been replaced with peace.
Well, yes, I'm finding peace. I tell everyone about you. I'm
Thank
trying
you.
To spread the word. So.
Thank you.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you.
We're only able to broadcast because of your generous support. Donate safely and quickly online at relevantradio.com or by using the Relevant Radio app.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at avemariafunds.com.
compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Cyrus, yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. I posted, it's not one of my life goals, but it is something I'd like to do. And I put it on Twitter. I'm going to see to it that someday a line of Cyrus throw pillows and other luxury lifestyle products will be brought to the market, brought to market. And I posted two. Now, these are actual pictures of you. You can't deny that. These are actually you. But the throw pillows. And the one on the left, I think it's funny. The one on the left, it's hard to tell whether you're giving me a look of disappointment or you're kind of about to laugh at a joke. It's hard to tell exactly.
Yeah, they're kind of the same look, aren't they?
Kind of, yeah. So if you've wondered what does Cyrus look like, you'll see it for sure, for real, on my Twitter feed on the throw pillows.
And if you scroll down, you'll see what's on the other side of this pillow. So it's a double,
oh, are those the same pillows?
It's a double sided pillow. So on one side you get my ugly mug, and then on the other you get Mr. Mustache himself, Patrick.
I think this looks pretty good. I would pay money to buy a pillow like that.
We got to work on the Patrick Madrid pool doll first.
I'll buy you a Patrick Madrid pillow for Christmas.
Okay.
You'll be so proud.
Yeah, my dog would love it.
Yeah, he'd be in the dog bed. Okay, so foods that are going to be increasingly rare, according to the BBC. Now, they start off with lobster, and I don't think of lobster as an everyday food. I mean, do you eat lobster every day, Cyrus, or most days of the week?
I can't even remember the last time I had lobster.
I don't think anybody does. So the story gets into supplies of things from shellfish, oysters, the dwindling supplies. Many fruits and vegetables, it says, used to be much scarcer than they are today. Certain fruits, such as strawberries and raspberries, used to only be available in the summer, but now you can buy them all year round. That changes the perception of luxury, according to a senior researcher in global agriculture and food security in Scotland. Our obsession, they say, with sourcing scarce luxury foods comes at a high price. As a particular species of fish or seafood becomes more scarce, the price goes up. The increased value gives people the incentive to fish even harder to catch the remaining ones. When and where we eat certain foods also determines how much we value them. Eating context is really important for creating desire. Studies show that in an environment associated with expensive food, that can increase the attractiveness of food and drink typically consumed there, and that induces people being willing to pay more money for it. Another study found that people's desire for sushi increased if they ate in a sushi restaurant rather than eating sushi on the beach. I don't recommend that you get sushi at a gas station mini market, Cyrus, just FYI.
I'm just scanning through this to make sure tacos...
There's no mention of tacos that I can see.
Okay.
But, you know, this ties in, and I just want to briefly mention this. It's a fascinating article about food and our perceptions of food and how certain foods become scarce for different reasons. But I want to tie this in briefly to the not eating meat on Friday custom in the Catholic Church, which was the discipline for many, many, many centuries. And until only recently, was it enforced. Now, recently, in the years shortly after the Second Vatican Council, the Church revised the discipline, which prior to that was no meat on Fridays, every Friday during the year. Now, it retained that. It's still in force, but there was a modification such that you could substitute another penance if you wished to do so instead of eating meat on Friday. So let's say you wanted to have that hamburger or that carne asada taco or what have you. You could do it, but the Church says, but substitute it with something else that's penitential. Now, most people, and I was one of them for a long time, most people just sort of, okay, I'll substitute it for something else. And then by the time the day is over, you realize you've forgotten to do anything. So that's one reason why Nancy and I, years ago, we said, okay, we're just going to go back on that program, which is no meat on any Friday during the year. And that's what we've done. And it's not difficult to do. But the reason I'm tying this in is because it used to be that eating meat on Friday or not eating meat on Friday was actually penitential because a lot of people didn't have access to things like tuna for example, which you can substitute, or much less shrimp or other delicacies like that. And this is at a time, or there were certain times in the history of the church where eating meat at all was considered a luxury, not something that the average person necessarily had on a regular basis. Rich people, sure, but the average working Joe probably had a lot less meat in his diet in certain places and in times before. So part of our perception of meat nowadays, if you ask me, is, you know, we have it every day or multiple times a day. You might have bacon for breakfast and a hamburger for lunch and a steak or a pork chop for dinner. And that, in terms of historical precedence, that's rather rare for the general population to be able to do that. So just something else to think about. And I do encourage people. The church doesn't require it, but I think it's something good to return to, and that is to have that penitential dimension to each Friday. And there are some other reasons for not eating meat on Friday. One of the ones that I don't think I ever actually knew this, or I never saw it put this way, but a writer, an article I read recently, was pointing out that the shedding of blood, which is involved in eating an animal, hamburger, hot dog, a steak, etc., there's the shedding of blood that's involved prior to the time you eat it, obviously. And one of the lesser known reasons that I had never considered that this author pointed out was that it was a symbolic way of remembering that Jesus, by his death on the cross, his shed blood is sufficient for our salvation. And so in a symbolic way only, to avoid or to refrain from eating food that involved the shedding of the blood on that day was a way to remember that. And I had never heard that before, but it made sense. It clicked for me. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Teresa now, listening in Philadelphia. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Patrick. I just wanted to see if you had seen the video of the woman in the New York subway. It directly ties in with what you were talking about with TikTok. She is going through the subway cars, tearing down ads for a dating app that
I saw that
caters to. Yeah. So what's interesting to me is not just that she's incredibly brave to be doing that and knowing that she's being filmed, but what she's saying is basically tied into what you were saying about the immorality. That's an algorithm on TikTok. She's saying this is propaganda. This is affecting the next generation. And then when she says divide and conquer, that's what the Chinese want, which directly ties in with the topic of a book by Paul Kenger, who Drew Mariani has had on several times, about Marxism. In the second half of the book, he details what he calls the cultural Marxism, which is the new wave. It's not economic. Uh-huh. It is a way to destabilize society by corrupting the morals and destroying the institutions of society, like marriage and the family, and introducing things like sexual perversion, the sexualization of children, immorality, non-traditional relationships, all of that. And it's a way to destroy the morals of the country. So I thought it was so interesting that she's saying this, because no one is sitting on that subway thinking these explicit ads are communist. But in a sense, this is exactly what this author, Paul Kenger, is saying, is that we're not aware of this. We're not aware of what's being thrown at us, and we're accepting it as normal. And this is how we're destroying the youth, the next generation, as she says.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I first saw the video, and I'm looking at an article that has the video, and maybe we'll be able to play a little bit of it for you, for people to hear this. The pictures are revolting. Now, it's from a dating app called OkCupid, and the pictures are, it's hard to describe them, really graphic and gross and extremely sexually suggestive. And she's just like going through and just tearing them down one after another. And what I found interesting, quite frankly, was the reaction or the lack of reaction on the part of the other people on the subway. They're all looking at their phones. Some people are filming her. Nobody is, well, maybe one or two people are sort of joining her in agreeing with her. But she's essentially all by herself, and the other people don't want to be bothered, but they're intensely curious about what she's doing. So I've never seen anything like that, and I must say I applaud her courage in standing up and doing something like that, which almost surely would invite retaliation. So, yeah, I mean, I saw it, and I was amazed by it.
Yeah, I just think it's eye-opening to me that one of the tactics of communists is to destabilize society by destroying the social institutions. And if we're not aware of that, because most people associate communism with economic and abolition of private property, but it's more than that. It's the corruption of morals early with children. So if we don't wake up, and it's concerted. It's a concerted effort. So anyway, that's right. My comment.
Well, thank you, Teresa. I appreciate it. I had forgotten about that video, but thanks for reminding me of it. Cyrus, is the audio of that usable on the air or not really?
You know, I don't think so. The sound of the subway is a little too loud, so you can't really hear what by the time, you know, we'd broadcast it, people driving in their cars wouldn't be able to tell what she's saying. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post this to our show Twitter page, so if people are interested in seeing this for themselves, go to the Patrick Madrid Show Twitter page.
I'll read you a partial transcript. So these signs they're signs basically. They're promoting, how can I put this? Aberrant lifestyles, I guess, would be one way to do it. And the pictures are very, very sexually suggestive. So here's one news account of it. An unidentified woman on a New York subway car was filmed tearing down ads promoting LGBTQ lifestyles, promiscuity, and abortion. The viral stunt has drawn both, I wouldn't call it a stunt. It wasn't a stunt. She was angry, has drawn both applause and criticisms on social media. A video of the incident, which made the rounds in the last couple of days, begins with the woman ripping down a provocative ad for the dating app OkCupid. All this is gross, she said. All this is gross. I don't know for kids to be looking at this. Is that okay? A fellow passenger filming the rant replied, no, it's not. It's not, or no, it's not. It's wrong. As the woman added, it's propaganda. It affects the next generation. I don't know why no one sees this. This is disgusting. A male strap hanger agreed, calling the ads desensitization, while another passenger said they were normalizing abnormal behaviors. The woman then resumed tearing down the advertisements, most of which were for the popular digital dating platform. Many of the ads were sexually explicit or suggestive, such as the one, and I won't describe it. Another ad targets, quote, every single pansexual, while yet another refers to every single non-monogamist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's not something for kids to look at. It's not really something for anyone to look at, but she had the gumption to stand up and do something about it. Now, as far as I know, not only has she not been identified, I don't think there have been any, you know, efforts to arrest her or anything like that. So did you post that already, Cyrus?
Just sent it.
Now, some nincompoop on Twitter says, those companies paid for those ads. She is destroying them. If she doesn't like that, then she should get involved to change the policy and not destroy property. Huh. I wonder if that same principle applies to statues that you don't like, where government funds were used to erect and maintain those statues, maybe private funds used to erect and maintain statues. I'm thinking about like Statue of St. Junipero Serra. I bet you this person on Twitter who's just angry that she's destroying property that those companies paid for, I wonder if she would feel the same way about the left-wing people who like to destroy statues that they don't like. I have a feeling, if I had to guess, she probably would be okay with that. Another guy on Twitter says, LOL, this is vandalism, littering, and probably against a few rules of the transportation department. Hurt feelings and entitlement are strong with this one. Makes you wonder if he was out there marching with people this last year, destroying stuff in the name of their political convictions. So anyway, I mean, there's nothing else to say about this. I'm glad she did it. And I don't think there have been, at least in from what I can tell, there haven't been any charges brought against her. I don't even know if they know who she is. So,
no heat, no judgment.
I like the sound of that in her case, honestly. Let's go to Denise in St. John, Indiana. Thank you for holding so patiently, Denise. We only have a short bit of time here.
Real quick question. I was asked a question. I couldn't answer it. I have grown up with mostly orders of nuns and priests, and someone said to me, well, what about the diocesan priests? Do they take the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience? And I went totally blank. I have no.
Okay, I can help you. They do not. So
good.
those vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience are unique to religious orders. So those people are religious. That's a title we have for that state of life. And they take those vows. Priests do not take those vows, but they do make promises of celibacy, obedience to the bishop. So from a canon law standpoint, they are different from the vows. They accomplish much the same thing, but they're not the same thing. Does that make sense? Does that help?
That does make sense, because you know what they were asking, especially about chastity, and I'm thinking, well, you are celibate or supposed to be celibate as a priest.
Forgive my interruption. I've got to go. But yes, different but similar, I guess is the best way I could put that. Thank you, Denise. God bless you. I'm coming back right after this.